Back in studio for the first time since last week. I almost forgot how to get here. What do you know? I found it. I see Mad Max. I see Cowboy Bee. See, like Queen Bee was last night at Northwest Stadium. This is just Cowboy Bee. God, she still looks good. Doesn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to look that good and be that rich and to be that filthy talented. Mr. Steal Your Girls at it again. Ah, what can I say?
Now that you took the sit off, can I just like go in every break, just come back with Mr. Steal Your Girls?
No, I just wanted to see your reaction to what I would say. Because you're always saying that I have a way with words and that I always put things in an interesting predicament and whatever. So I was just trying to use a little bit of your accusations, if you will, your nonsense, and try and figure it out. As well, beyond all of that, we will not be talking about Queen Bee. Although I did see plenty of video. Looks like a lot of people were there. And good for the Commanders, I guess, to have her not once but twice. I think they did twice 2 years ago or something like that. I can't remember exactly when her last tour was on. So clearly Taylor Swift has a problem. The World Cup has a problem. But Queen Bee does not have a problem. She does not have a problem performing in Landover. So you take that for what it's worth. Over the next 3 hours, we will chat with you about the world of sports at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It is July 8th. It is 2025. It is a new era, I guess, for the Nationals. And we'll start there. And then we will get into some interesting, let's just put it that way, comments from the leader of the free world on your favorite football team and react to that coming up later on this hour. So the Nationals, as you know, fired Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo on Sunday late afternoon. By the way, Mike Rizzo will be on with the Junkies tomorrow morning right here on the Team 980 at 9 a.m., I've been told. Rizzo agreed to come on, even though he's no longer the GM and the president. So good on him, good on the Junks. Must listen to radio. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning with Mike Rizzo on the Junks in his normal spot. This will probably be the last time, but good on Mike to do that. I guess he didn't have to do that. So I want to make sure everybody is clear. Mike Rizzo tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., his first sit-down interview. I know he gave a quote to Barry Sferluga, and it was an eye-opening quote. No doubt, but this is going to be, my guess, 15 to 18 minutes of pretty, like, the Junks and Rizzo. I'm sure Rizzo gets annoyed sometimes, but the Junks and Rizzo have built up enough of a relationship and enough trust in each other over the years and over a long haul of success and failure where Rizzo doesn't think that they're going to, you know, I guess make him look bad or make him fall into a trap that he doesn't want to fall into or whatever he wants. Because I know he's been talking to people, but a lot of that has been off the record, right? And I got to be honest with you, I don't have that kind of relationship with Mike Rizzo. I've from afar, I've admired him, but I've never been close enough to him other than high and by and a couple of times on the radio to where I've had that relationship with Mike Rizzo. If I had any sort of personal relationship, it was kind of, sort of, and I say it like that because truly it is, with Davey Martinez. He was really nice to my kid, and Tyler loved Davey Martinez and was bummed out that he got fired on Sunday when I had to tell him. But he never forgot Davey Martinez. My kid does not forget anybody that is really, really, really good to him. And Davey Martinez was. That being said, They both got fired on Sunday, and I said something at the end of the first segment yesterday, and then AMAC went to a break. And I mentioned it back a couple of times. I said, I believe Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez rightfully got fired. Like, I can't sit here and tell you that the proof wasn't in the pudding over and over and over and over again. And the bottom line reality is you have to win more than they have over a long stretch of time. 5+ years is not a short sample size. It is a pretty long sample size. We understand that they are dealing with a major, major restriction in the Lerner ownership group. There aren't many, quite honestly, more owners that are loathe, if you will, in baseball. Like John Fisher with the A's, certainly. Stuart Steinberg with the Rays, and he's about to sell, certainly. But there aren't many other owners that are as disliked as the Lerner Group is. And that is not recent. That has been for a long, long time. I remember my first go around at this radio station, and people would be like, well, sure, it's easy for you to fire bullets at the Lerner family. You work for Dan Snyder. And I was like, I'll fire bullets at Dan, too. I have no problem with that. The Lerners have not been great owners for a long, long time. They have done a lot of things wrong or not satisfactory enough. This is not a recent thing. But I said what I said, and I mean what I mean. I believe, ultimately, while the timing was very odd on the Rizzo firing, that both ultimately deserved to get fired. And I don't apologize for that. I'm not going to take that back. Both ultimately deserve to get canned. I, again, strongly disagree with the timing on the Rizzo part. And for anybody that's going, oh, well, why would you want Rizzo running the draft? Well, here's the thing. I don't know if I want Mike DiBartolo running the draft. He may not be the full-time GM, unless that's already been made. That decision's already internally been made. And nothing would surprise me with the Junks, with the Lerners, that decision has already potentially been made internally, right? Because as I argued yesterday, well, if you don't want Rizzo running the draft because he ain't going to be here, if you've already made that decision, well, you want DiBartolo running the draft when you don't know if he's going to be here or not? Now, you know that there's a chance, but you don't know, theoretically, if you're doing this right, that he is going to be here. If you're actually doing an exhaustive search and you're willing to bring in the best people in baseball, no offense, I can think of a bunch of other higher profile and more successful and more accomplished candidates than the one that I sense the Lerners are going to retain. And we can all figure out the reasons for that. But that being said, do I think Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo were hamstrung? Absolutely. Do I think they were given a fair chance to compete with the Mets, the Phillies, the Braves, others in the National League, the American League, so on and so forth? No, of course not. I mean, let's be honest. The Lerners spent money in the 2010s because they realized that a new stadium alone was not going to get them anywhere. Right, they built the new stadium in, what, 2008? And by 2010, nobody was going. And maybe even by 2009. Right? It's the same kind of thing with the Pirates. They've got a beautiful gem of a ballpark, PNC Park. Nobody goes. Now, it's older, but nobody's been going for a long time. Right? Building a beautiful gem of a ballpark doesn't mean automatically you're going to sell the place out or you're going to have bustling crowds. You got to win. So they realized, oh, hey, we've got to try and compete. We've got to try and sign the Mark Teixeiras of the world, which they tried to do. We've got to try and bring in, was it CC Sabathia? Did they go after CC? I can't remember if they did or not. And then they certainly landed on Jason Worth. And then that triggered, along with the number one overall picks and Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and the number, I want to say, six overall pick and Anthony Rendon the year after that, and the trade for Gio Gonzalez and so on and so forth, Jordan Zimmerman obviously being raised, that triggered a period of competitiveness, and the Learners did spend. They did. They absolutely did. Did they spend everything they could have? No, I don't think they did. Were they quote-unquote cheap in some ways, in some negotiations? Absolutely. Were they using their own business chops and tactics that maybe worked in corporate shakedown real estate? Sure. But they did spend money. And they would argue that they are spending money now. The problem is, as everybody knows, it's about $50 million a year on Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer, who no longer pitch here. And that was the problem with the deferred deal. And that was the problem with the Strasburg opt-out and then renewal or extension after the World Series. So the Learners would argue, hey, man, we're spending money and we're still paying the bills for the 2019 World Series. Just because you look at it in a different way, that doesn't mean we're not spending money. And I guess they have a point. But we all know it's not good enough. It's not committed enough. We all know that they could do more. They don't want to do more. I was reading a quote last night as I was doing research on something. And basically, it was Mark Lerner 2 years ago saying, I promise we're going to be at the top of the free agent market again. I mean, where? Is there any evidence whatsoever? And forever and ever and ever, he hid behind, well, if Mike Rizzo comes to me and tells me that we need to go get this player, then we'll bid for them. We'll be aggressive. He said on March 30th of 2023, quote, I promise fans we will be back in the top of the free agent market soon. And he was talking in this story, and this this story came from our friends at Talk Nats, so I want to make sure I give them credit. It was an interview basically with Dan Kolko of Masson, so kind of state-controlled media, and basically he said that I promise fans we will be back in the – wait a second. There's zero evidence of that. Zero evidence. Not even like a reasonable argument that can be made. Zero evidence. So that's just one thing. Now, I may have been mistaken. I thought it was Mark Lerner that said, in order for us to bring in free agents, fans have to come. I've got mixed signals on that. I have not been able to find the direct quote on that, and that's my fault if I screwed that up with another owner. So I'm still doing research on that. But either way, I promise we will be back in the top of the free agent market soon. That's Mark Lerner, late March 2023. Is there any evidence whatsoever? Is there any evidence whatsoever that that's even remotely true? No, of course not. We know that the Learners are the number one problem. We know that. Anybody with a reasonable mind, anybody with common sense knows that the number one problem was not Mike Rizzo or Davey Martinez. Everyone knows that the Learners have their own unique confrontational, I believe, unconventional style of negotiation and hardline tactics. Everyone knows that they have wanted from day one to make money and to not win championships at any cost. To make money. Everyone knows that. It's not against, I should say, it's not worth your time to try and defend any other point. It's a fact. Even though they would say absolutely not, it doesn't matter what they say. I just gave you a quote that shows you just one example of how they just talk out of both sides of their mouth, and they'll say anything to get people in a lather, and then they don't perform, or they don't produce, or they don't do it. Okay? If you need any more evidence, that quote alone, right there, is all you need. But I said yesterday that Davey and Mike Rizzo deserve to get fired. And that was based on, again, a long sample size of not being able to get the team to improve. Not to win a championship, but to improve. Sustainably improve. Sure. I mean, they went from, you know, I think it was 58 wins or whatever it was to 71 wins and then 71 wins again last year. And who knows what they're going to finish up with this year. And they were on pace, obviously, at the end of May to do a lot better than that. Now they're not on pace, so on and so forth. But the bottom line is this. Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez did not do good enough with whatever resources they were given. Granted, they were limited resources. So my friend David Cassidy, who's great to us, and David, longtime media person in the DMV area, now lives in Ohio, retired, all that, listens to the show every day, but always gives me sage advice. And it's not always like, hey, you're great, and I disagree with you, or, you know, I totally agree with you. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. Like this email that popped up, I saw it this morning, and he said, "Hey, Chris, not long ago you offered a brilliant, in parentheses, yes, brilliant analogy about the way the learners treat the fans. You know, the learners restaurant that opens for business with no food, then blames people for not showing up to dine there. You nailed it. And that story sums up why I disagree with you when you say Rizzo and Davey deserve to be fired. What they deserve is a medal. I think the two of them and a bunch of other people who work for the team actually cared about the product and the paying customers. The learners only care about the learners." He said, "When I lived in Oakton, my neighbor was a contractor who had done business with them and had nothing good to say about them. Not just that they were frugal, but that they treated people like poop." He used a different word. "The learners were blessed to own a team in the same market as Dracula Dan, so their deeds were largely overlooked, like the one where Rizzo woke up one morning to learn that they had fired his top assistant without telling him. The classic, fire that guy and Rizzo will be so angry he'll quit, and then he didn't." And David went on, I'll cut it short right there because that's the meat and potatoes of it, and it's an excellent point. That the learners don't care about winning championships more than they care about their wallet or their bank account, period. I mean, anybody that tells you that is full of baloney. Full of baloney. They don't care more about winning championships or winning baseball games than they do about stuffing their wallet. And there is no doubt that the team has operated differently post-COVID when they didn't get to reap the rewards of the 2019 World Series. Yes, unfair. But also when they took a bloodbath in commercial and corporate real estate. And in baseball or in sports, you need to operate in a way that, whether it's true or not, shows your customers, shows your fans, hey, we are willing and committed to do everything it takes, whatever we need. And there has not been one ounce of evidence to suggest that the learners had that mentality. Not one. Even when things were good, there were always a hardline negotiation tactic. Oh, we can't get Kenley Jansen in here, the top closer in baseball, because he doesn't want half of his money deferred until 2078. Right? So even when they were spending money, there were issues. So here's the question. At 301-230-0980, am I wrong in saying that Mike and Davey deserved ultimately to get fired? Am I wrong for that? Or am I right while acknowledging the major problem? I can also acknowledge, hey, you know what? They were given 5.5 years to fix it. And not only did they not fix it, but things seemingly are going in the wrong direction. I think we can have a discussion about that. Am I wrong for saying they deserve to get fired, ultimately, as David kind of pointed out, when we all, I think, understand who's really to blame, who's the root cause of the blame? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, a little Beyonce, huh? Oh, look at you, actually paying attention, eh, Mac? Just teasing with you, bud. Just teasing with you. We opened up the show. I saw some clips of Beyonce at Northwest Stadium last couple of nights. Well, actually, it was Friday night and Monday night. Kind of weird scheduling, but I guess when you're Beyonce, you can do whatever the hell you want, right? If you say, well, you need a couple of nights in between to check out Washington, D.C., or to hang out in a penthouse hotel and do whatever Beyonce does, you can do whatever Beyonce wants. Long and the short of it here is I may have gone over the line, as my pal David Cassidy mentioned in the email or in the excerpt of the email that we said. I said Davey and Mike Rizzo deserve to get fired. And I'm basing that based on, yes, they were hamstrung. Yes, they were handcuffed. But ultimately, they weren't given 2 years to turn this thing around. They were given 5+ years. And you can make a very strong argument that while the talent in the organization is better, the direction of the play and the fan base is way, way, way beyond what they thought it would be and what I thought it would be. And I think what everybody reasonably thought it would be. And whether you put the start of the rebuild on the Max Scherzer, Trey Turner deal for Keibert Ruiz and Josiah Gray in mid-2021, whether you put it actually 2020 in the COVID-shortened year, 26 and 34, whether you put it on the Soto deal, whatever timeline you use, and I think that's subject to debate, it's not good enough. It's not healthy enough. It's not going enough consistently in the right direction. It's not, period. And that's why I said what I said. Now, that being said, I can acknowledge that these guys had to deal with a very, very difficult circumstance. Not the only ones. Not the only ones, by any means. But, like, if you're the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, you know going in every year, you've got to squeeze every ounce of blood out of that rock. If you're the manager of the Oakland Athletics, or Sacramento Athletics, I guess now, or just the Athletics, I guess they're calling them, you know that you have extremely little margin for error. And Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo, in some ways, I think, acted like, you know what? We've got time here. We'll get this thing turned around. It may not be as fast as everybody wants it to be, but we've got time. And in reality, they might be, the learners, looking, again, maybe unfairly and probably unfairly, as time, you've had 5.5 years. Now, again, realistically, hard to blame anybody for 2020. Just a bad combination of things. But I mean, even if you say forget about 2020 and just 2021, 22, 23, 24, and now 25, that's 4.5 years. And because of how dreadful they were in June and kind of sort of so far in July, having been swept by the Red Sox, I don't think that decision was made on Sunday afternoon post Red Sox sweep. But I don't think it was also made 3 weeks ago. If you are them, right, and you say, if you're the learners and you say, how much longer can we let this go with seemingly very little hope? And they kept punching the time card saying, no, we have great talent. We have great young talent. It's just a matter of being consistent. And that's true. They don't have enough of it, but it is true their number one issue was not per se talent. It was consistency. And we've been talking about this forever, right? Consistent performances. Consistency is the number one bugaboo, if you will, in all of sports. Teams that can be consistent can win. Teams that can't, won't. Period. And the Nationals were never able to achieve that consistency. In really any iteration over the last 4.5 years, and if you want, 5.5 years. Since the 2019 World Series. And even that year started off a disaster. So, again, I don't apologize, much to my pal David's chagrin, for saying Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez deserve to get fired. I'm going to give you a little bit more on why I feel that way besides just the obvious when we return on the other side, and then we will get to your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980, on the Odyssey app, where we're always live and free there. Also now available on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn app, so come and join us there, whether it be live or whether it be on demand, iHeartRadio and TuneIn. And don't forget, Mike Rizzo will be on with the Junkies tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. in his normal spot, right here on the Team 980. All right, so indeed, the Nationals get the Miguel Cairo era off to a start tonight in St. Louis, 7:45 first pitch. You can hear it, 106.7 The Fan, Odyssey app, 7:15 the pregame show as Cairo takes over for the now-fired Davey Martinez. And, of course, Mike DeBartolo is the new general manager or interim general manager for Mike Rizzo, who, again, will be joining the Junkies right here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Team 980. So that's what you have to look forward to tonight. Up the road in Baltimore, the Mets are in town at Camden Yards against the Baltimore Orioles, who are 9 games under .500, but inching closer back to contention. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins, oh, that's a name that you all love, said he felt misled after the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. with the number 8 overall pick in last year's draft. That from the premiere episode of the Netflix series Quarterback, which came out yesterday. He said he felt a little bit misled that the Falcons took Penix that high after signing him to a $100 million guaranteed deal just a couple of weeks before. And that's what's trending. All right, 23 minutes in front of the top of the hour. Good to have you with us here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Watching some of the Mystics game. That's right, they're playing Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky over at Mason at the Eagle Bank Arena. I wanted to call it the Patriot Center. That's the old name. Up 75-74 are the Mystics with 1:36 left to go. You can catch that game if you want on 1580. So there you go. Angel Reese has 20 points and 15 rebounds. Angel Reese has been turning it on, baby. She's been turning it on the last 8, 9, 10 games. I don't get any weird... I'm telling you, she's been turning it on. I mean, she was like a brick factory for the first year plus of her career. I mean, so much so that her McDonald's McValue meal was called the McBrick meal. I mean, it was. She has been great the last 8, 9 games. Something like that. She's been terrific. So give her credit. give her credit where credit is due. And obviously it hasn't been a great year for Caitlin Clark, who's been injured a lot, turnovers, so on and so forth. So that furor, if you will, has kind of calmed down a little bit. But, you know, that's kind of the situation. All right, so we'll keep you up to date on that. Meanwhile, again, I do blame Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo ultimately and say they deserve to get fired despite, again, being handicapped by the learners. Here's the deal. They never got really sustainably better in any sort of area. You think about it, right? Base running, they're terrible. Defense, they're not good. Bullpen, awful. Starting pitching, inconsistent. Offense, up and down like a yo-yo. They had a terrible month of June. Sure, they had a great ending to May. Awesome. But then couldn't hit a lick in June. And sometimes that happens where teams get hot and cold all at the same time. You know, that can probably happen if you're the Guardians or if you're the Braves, who also struggled through rough Junes. And maybe you can dig yourself out of it. It can't happen if you're the Washington Nationals. There's just not enough margin for error. So if I saw sustainable improvement in any area of the ball club, other than, well, hey, they're young players. Yes, they're young players, but they're not all young. And this was kind of Davey's point a couple of weeks ago when he basically said, it's not the coaches, it's the players. When you have no sustainable improvement, no measurable improvement, and maybe some of the numbers would bear out something different and tell you analytically that, well, they did make improvement in this one little area. I'm talking about big picture here. I'm talking about I watch pretty much all games, or at least a good portion of. And we talk about the Nationals every day, much to the chagrin of many, I'm sure. But the bottom line is, I can't identify a spot where you say, man, they really improved here. Boy, they look at this jump, right? Like, look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, the Pirates are still awful, and they got swept, and they got shut out in a weekend series in Seattle after doing what they did to the Mets and after doing what they did, I think, to the Cardinals. And having a nice run, and everybody thought, oh, the Pirates. And then they got swept. And we'll probably see what happens from here. But you can see, now, a lot of this is Skeens, but it's not just Skeens. You can see sustainable improvement in their starting pitching. You can see it. You can feel it. You can watch it. I watched Saturday night against Seattle. I mean, they got some arms. Okay? Now, it's not good enough, but you can see sustainable improvement. I challenge anybody, and maybe the numbers would justify a better argument than I'm making, but I challenge anybody to go, all right, show me where the Nationals, not incrementally, but sustainably improved in any area of their ball club over the last couple of years. And I can't think of one. Again, maybe I'm missing something. You tell me. But I can't think of one. They're not better offensively, even though they have boppers. They're not better defensively, even though they've tried to address some of those issues. They're not better starting pitching, even though Mackenzie Gore is having a great year. They're not better in the bullpen, even though Kyle Finnegan, until he gets traded, has been great. Like, they're not, and they're certainly not better base running. So maybe I'm missing something. I don't think I am. But they are not sustainably better. All right, let's get to the phones. And that's why ultimately I think Rizzo and Davey Martinez ultimately deserve to get fired, while acknowledging they were in a very difficult situation, and I would not want to work for the Learners. Let's go to Ian in Virginia on line two. Hey, Mac, you're going to have to help me out there. Again, what's up, Ian? How are you?
I called in a few months ago talking about how the Learners have quit since 2020. The lack of investment, the lack of stadium right deals, patch deals, their AAA payroll, their lack of technology, all of that. They are awful. They are criminally negligent the way they treat this franchise, all while being one of the richest ownership groups and having plenty of their stadium attendance cost is still higher than the average. They are awful. With that being said, it is ridiculous that anyone would stand up for Rizzo and Davey as if they were wronged. You're not a hostage here. If you think the Learners are awful owners, then you can quit and go to one of other 29 teams. They didn't do that. I loathe when the Shanahans or Jay Gruden or anybody would come to Washington knowing Dan Snyder was awful, get fired, and then complain about Dan Snyder being awful. You know what you're getting before you take the job. Rizzo has been here plenty of times. It's amazing when they win, they talk about all the greatness that Rizzo did. But when they lose, it's the Learners' fault. It can't work that way. When they were winning their eight-year run with five playoff appearances, it was all about Rizzo. You better give the Learners credit there, too. You can't parse out credit and blame unless you have a differentiating factor. For me, it's a total no-brainer to fire both of them. And yes, of course, I hope the Learners sell the team because they're awful owners. And I don't think this is going to be some spur of them trying to get way better and invest in the team, because there's so much they need to do. And as we all know, they don't have consensus amongst five different owners because Ted passed away and you have brothers-in-law and sisters. It's a total
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a mess, but I caution anybody, the Tom Laveros and all these people who want to stick up for the Rizzo and Davey as if they were wronged and they were hostages here.
Well, I think what happens there, and I know from my perspective too, in the coaches that I've covered, is you know you get to know people and you get to like people and you believe right. that they deserve a better plight in life, right? And you defend them. And I would say, listen, Ian. Again, I'm maybe this is straddling the fence. I think they both deserve to get fired, but I also think they were hamstrung. And if that makes me kind of, you know, in the middle, then that makes me in the middle. But the bottom line is I can't sit here and say they didn't get enough of an opportunity. They did. And
exactly.
And it's not just not winning a championship or not being exciting. It's honestly, there's not a lot of progress to be shown. There just isn't.
Right. And I guess if I could rebut that point, I'm not here to say anything good about the Learners. They are awful. We know they're hamstringing the team. We know they are treating it like a vacant building on K Street. We all understand that. My frustration is when people make it seem like, oh, man, if Rizzo and Davey had the Yankees payroll, they'd be winning. No, Rizzo had awful draft picks. Davey Martinez coaches like he doesn't even care. Like, the base running errors that a collegiate team wouldn't make. Like, it's ridiculous. And I hate when somebody gets fired and then instead of just saying, we didn't win enough, they turn around and blame their bosses. Oh, Chris, your ratings are down. Oh, I'm going to blame my boss. No, it's on you. If you think you're not getting resources, go find a different job. I just don't get that.
Well,
you know?
Listen, that's pretty simplistic to say that. And you're right. Clearly family and certain things and certain other factors play into it. But you're not wrong in saying, look, if you're unsatisfied, do better for yourself. Try and do better for yourself. And I do understand that. I don't agree with it blindly, but I do understand that.
Well, and you know, there's this notion that Rizzo's so respected within the industry. Okay, well, let's test that theory. There's other jobs available this offseason. Let's see who's eager to hire Mike Rizzo. I don't think it'll be that many. There's a lot of losing on his resume. You can't just blame it all on the learners.
That's fair.
Just ridiculous.
That's fair. All right. Appreciate it. Good call. Thank you. Again, I don't think you're going to be very popular for that sentiment. I don't think I'm very popular by saying they deserve to get fired. But I truly believe they deserve to get fired. Because ultimately, there wasn't, again, any sustainable improvement. There just wasn't by any measure that I could come up with. And again, I don't live in a shoebox of analytics, so maybe I'm missing something, but that's the bottom line. All right, we'll take a timeout. The Mystics have won and beaten Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky. Give you some details next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So just before the top of the hour here, I went back and I just tried to start looking at numbers because, again, I don't see any great improvement. As a matter of fact, in some ways you see regression. But sometimes the numbers tell you something different. So just for instance, in terms of like overall batting, the Nationals this year, 247 with a 314 on-base percentage and a 390 slugging. All right, so just like look at those numbers, which doesn't tell you everything, but just gives you, again, a little ballpark. So in 2024, as a whole, they had a 243 batting average. So they have slightly improved. A 309 on-base percentage and a 375 slugging. So right away, I've blown my theory out of the water that, I didn't say that there was no improvement, but sustainably, does anybody actually think that this is a good, sustainable, consistent offense? No. So the numbers are slightly up because you're getting James Wood in his first full season. You had Dylan Cruz for a month and a half. Keibert Ruiz got off to a good start. You added Nathaniel Lowe. Right? I mean, so, all right, so they're a little bit better. But is that sustainable? Is that, like, enough? If you're not going to win, if you're not going to show big-time improvement in wins and losses, you have to show it elsewhere. You have to walk away going, you know what? This Nationals team, man, they're close. That arrow is big-time pointing up. And I don't know if anybody can do that. I could say that at the end of May, and maybe we're overreacting to a bad June and a bad first week of July. Maybe. But they're just not, outside of wins and losses, which we know is not good enough at 16 games under 500, showing enough progress. I get you some more numbers on the other side. First, we'll take the timeout here at the top of the hour. Then we'll get to Mark and Largo Little as well. The Mystics win at Eagle Bank Arena on, I guess they do camp day or something like that. Most teams do that type of thing. Baseball, you see it a lot on a Wednesday afternoon at like noon or whatever it is, where they bring out all the kids out from camp. That's what they did. So they had Angel Reese in town, the Mystics beat the Chicago Sky 81-79. So good for them. All right, top of the hour right here, Team 980, Odyssey app. Again, always live and free on that Odyssey app and on demand as well. Plus, you can now listen on iHeartRadio and tune in. Hour number two, straight ahead. Stay with us.